Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have heard today the Gospel of St. Luke, Matthew. We heard how the Lord had resurrected a young man that had just died, that his mother was a widow and was weeping and wailing as the body of the child, young man, was taken to be buried. The Lord felt sorry for the young man, for the mother, sorry. And he had resurrected him. He touched the coffin, and he ordered the young man to get up. And the young man sat up in the coffin and started to speak. So great was the power of the Lord, our God, 2,000 years ago, as he resurrected the young man. So great is this power today, that he can resurrect every one of us from this death sleep of sin. If only we would truly want that. If you want to be resurrected by your Lord and my Lord Jesus Christ, all we have to do is go on to him and ask for mercy, and ask for guidance, and ask for life. For while we live in sin, while we live not looking for that kingdom of heaven, we are truly dead. But as we call on to the Lord, and if we want to be woken up into resurrection of life, the Lord will do it if we call on and ask for it. The Lord is as powerful now as he was 2,000 years ago, and he will be forever. And for him to resurrect from the dead is nothing. Every time we commit a sin, we die. So we need the Lord to resurrect us, to get us out from that state of sinfulness. If we remember that, we'll call on to him, and the Lord will guide us slowly but surely towards that beautiful place, which is called the heaven. When there is no more death, when there is no more struggle. This is what we all have to hope for. This is what can bring us joy, and we can truly be as the early Christians were. Amen. Today the church is celebrating the last day of the Holy Transfiguration. Oh, how would it be beautiful if we all could be transfigured, if we can shed off the old man and become filled with the grace of God and be a new person that does not know how to keep grudges, a new person that just does not know how to get mad at his brother, a new person that can just find it impossible to not to forgive the debts, a new person that can pray all the time in his heart to the Lord without ever being a called to the holy things and to the Lord. Oh, how we could truly, if we could only be transformed into a new servant, the servants of God, that people will truly look at us and will say that, well, they are the disciples of their Lord Jesus Christ. They do have love one for another. Wouldn't that be beautiful? It seems to us that it doesn't seem to be possible to attain that thing. And yet, the Holy Church is filled with all these beautiful flowers, the gems, as some Holy Fathers even call them, that they have attained exactly that. They have been transfigured, transformed from the old man into the new man. They have acquired the great love which is needed for each other. Today's reading of the epistle, of the gospel, we hear that the Lord is telling how one not so good a servant, after being forgiven a great amount that he owed to the master, went out and went to the throat of one of his fellow servants and demanded from him the little money that he owed him, and when he couldn't do it, then he threw him into jail. At those times, for debts, you can be thrown in jail, and your wife and the children can be sold from under you. There's a fairness for you. Isn't that what we fall into many often, very, very often ourselves? If we really think about it, don't you, beloved brother and sister, hold a grudge against somebody? Don't you feel the coldness of the heart of somebody when it's coming near you and responding with the same coldness? Have you learned to forgive? Have you learned to truly to forgive and to love those who hurt you, to bless those who curse you? Have you truly been aware of the great sins that you have possessed, that you have asked God's forgiveness and He has forgiven you? I know I have many times. I'm losing the sight of that, how much the Lord forgives me all the time. And I know I fall into a judging sometimes of my brother. And I hope that in your hearts, every one of you will feel that you fall into it also. Every time you feel coldness towards your brother, or you're angry with your brother, or you cannot forgive the hurt that he imposed on you, even if you've been kicked out from the place that you've been living before, even if you go thousands and tens of thousands of miles away, the minute you remember of that someone that hurt you, your heart squeezes together and no longer is there peace. No longer you feel at peace and have love for God and love for that human being. But you don't want to think about it. At the best, you just throw away the thoughts about those people that have hurt you and don't want to think about it. But of course, at worst, you keep in your heart these hurt, and you are hurting, and you're hurting, and you are then ready to accept the opposite of what the Lord tells you, and you are willing to accept into your heart then the enemy of mankind, who then feeds on your unwillingness to forgive your brother, and he starts to gnash out through you then at every human being that can come close to you or wants to come close to you. Look in your hearts and find out. You find I'm telling you the truth. Every one of us fall into this one time or another. So what does the church teach us? The church teaches us to be transformed and transfigured in the grace of God, through the grace of God. To get away the old man, push away the evil one that's causing us to hold the grudges, and to truly be able to love our neighbor, to bless those who curse us, and to truly, in our hearts, to be able to pray for them like we would for our own brother, for our own husband and wife, for somebody that we love truly. Is it hard? No, not really. It's hard only in the beginning to make an attempt to force ourselves. Once we force ourselves in that direction, the enemy will flee, the enemy of mankind. You say to me, but Father, who are you talking about? Well, then if you heard my sermons before, you've heard, you know who I'm talking about. It's the demons. The demons. Those filthy scums, the ones that are attacking your brother, my wife, your wife, my husband, your husbands and so on. Every member of my family he's attacking. Whether he's in immediate family or whether in the family of the whole Orthodox family. The enemy attacks every one of us and hurts so badly our brethren. And if we can only realize that, and we start to fight against the filthy enemy, not against our poor brothers and sisters that fall prey to him. You know, if I let the enemy come inside my heart and then have coldness to the words of gospel, to the holy icons, I don't want to hear nothing about the preaching, I don't want to hear nothing about the sorrows and hurts of my brother. When that happens, beloved, I am suffering and I am a prisoner. And when I want to get out from that state, I have to force myself. I have to take that kingdom of heaven by force. And so do you. So do you. You have to take it by force. There's no way out of it. There's no way to fight against the enemy unless we exert ourselves. There's no way to attain the prayer unless we exert ourselves. As we really put in the force behind it. It doesn't come without any effort. Kingdom of heaven is not taken by it's not taken without effort. It is taken only by effort. Beloved, let's understand that when my brother or your brother, or when I as a priest or you as the members of the church ever grow cold in your heart, ever become irritated, ever get hurt and squeezed inside of your heart, when that happens, and when you cannot look with love, and when you cannot soften your heart and be gentle and meek, those times, let's face it, we are prisoners. We are prisoners of the enemy. And those are the times when we need the most of help, when the passion overtakes us, when we cannot cope with it, when we cannot seem to be free from temptations. Those are the times when we are prisoners, and these are the times that we are suffering. For no man can live and rejoice being in a prison. No man. I just went through a little experience of hospital for 10 days. Of course, I've had a vacation, you might say. But still, it was a prison also. It was a prison. I had to stay in one room and one bed. And it wasn't as easy as you feel being outside. And I was separated from my brethren. I was separated. You understand? I was separated from the ones that I loved. And I couldn't help them, and I knew there was troubles, and I couldn't be there to help them. And that is not easy sometimes. That is not easy to take, beloved. And yet, what is happening to us? When I see or you see your brother in a suffering, in a prison, what happens many times? Instead of softening our heart, going out to him, and giving the plaster of love, as St. John of Kronstadt demands from us, and the Lord demands from us, what do? We give him a cold shoulder. We say, well, your problems are your own. Don't bother me with your problems. That's for the best. But at worst, we even get mad at them. What are you being like this and so on? This is what I do. I get mad at my wife many times when I see her being submitting or going into a prison. Instead of helping her, I get mad at her. And I'm sorry for it. As I do many times at those who I'm surrounded with. But maybe you do the same thing. Let's change that. Let's really change that. And let's try to, when we see our neighbor in trouble, whether it's your son, whether it's your daughter, whether your husband or wife, let's try to give him the plaster or her, the plaster of love, and gently treat them, for they are suffering a great deal. And let's call out to the Lord, so that the Lord will give us that prayer. For true prayer can be only attained after we forgive our brothers, whatever they owe us, whatever they've done against us. For the Lord states so in another part of the Gospel, when you come to church and to pray and you ask something of the Father, make sure that first of all you make up with your brother. And then, and only then, your prayer is going to be heard by the Lord. So let's never forget that. And try to attain the gentleness and the meekness of the heart through which we will have the grace of God and through which we will only be able to rejoice with St. Paul as he writes, rejoice at all times in the Lord. Amen.